Enjoy the convenience of 7 days a week banking and extended hours with Cube from First Arkansas Bank and Trust, member FDIC. Enjoy the convenience of 7 days a week banking and extended hours with Cube from First Arkansas Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
About the top six separated by a length and a half as they race around the far turn, and Nadal is still the leader.
Oaklawn Race Day. Your inside track with some of the hottest thoroughbred action in America. Only a short drive away in Hot Springs.
Between horses goes Accession, who's come from the back of the pack. And look at this. It is Accession and Nadal. Nadal, Accession, Nadal aces the Rebel. Wow, what a race.
Arkansas residents can even watch and wager online with Oaklawn Anywhere. Go to oaklawnanywhere.com or download the iPhone or iPad app from the Apple Store for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. And now, here are your hosts, Justin Acri and David Longinotti.
Welcome in on a great Saturday to Oaklawn Race Day. A big day at Oaklawn. No racing tomorrow because of the Easter holiday, but 12 races on the card today. And David, as we get rolling here today, we certainly will touch on what happened last weekend, some movement in the Kentucky Derby points race, and we'll talk about some of the results there. But look ahead today as well to the Count Fleet Handicap, a $500,000 purse on the line for a talented group of sprinters, and plenty more to get to today as we delve into the show.
Yeah, the Grade 3 Count Fleet Sprint Handicap is, it's Grade 3, and, I don't think I'm biased when I say I have no idea why this is still a Grade 3. The past several years, we've had, the fan favorite Whitmore come in here and run and win it. We've had Mattoli, who was a champion sprinter. And today we have yet another champion sprinter coming in to make his first start of the year. The five, Jackie's Warrior, who was a champion sprinter last year, comes in and makes his first start of his four-year-old campaign. This is a kind of a short field with six horses in it, but all of them really fit. Particularly when you consider that Jackie's Warrior is coming off the layoff, and a lot of people think that's the time to take on these heavy heads.
Well, that's true. Yeah, you're right. It's a great race, and obviously maybe should be. I mean, moving up as far as the level of stakes. So, but certainly plenty of purse money to attract horses, and that's good news for the folks at Oaklawn today. Also, a big full card today. We should mention 12:10 will be our first post today, so a little earlier than normal on a Saturday because of the big card, and of course, no racing tomorrow, David. So, just want to make sure everybody's clear on time so they don't miss out on anything. And if you can't make it down today, don't worry. Bet.oaklawn.com. Still $150 sign-up bonus for those who have not yet set up an account. Buzz22 is our favored code on this show. Got a few weeks until the Kentucky Derby, and the picture continues to come into form. We've got one last prep race today, a lower points total, and we'll just touch on that at the end of this segment. But let's bring in Jeff Money Taylor and talk about the three prep races from last week and the results there. And Jeff, good to have you back with us today on what could be a little bit of an off track from a weather standpoint, but an exciting day of racing with a full card today.
Yeah, absolutely. 12 races, some good races on the undercard, which has been the norm throughout the Saturday course of the season. We have a great program here stakes-wise, but the supporting allowance race is always very important, kind of looking forward to some additional stakes action maybe later on in the year. But a good card that Racing Secretary Pat Pope and his crew down there put together.
Let's look back at last weekend, Jeff, and the Wood Memorial will start out at Aqueduct last week. Mo Donegal's a horse that we talked about a little bit, I think, on the show, but it wasn't a horse that necessarily was favored. Early voting and Skippy Longstocking rounding out the top three finishers there. So of the three, that seemed to be, if I remember correctly, the least of the form of the three prep races. But just want to get your thoughts coming out of the Wood Memorial. And Mo Donegal, certainly a heady horse, not shocking for him to come home first.
And it was a relatively small field. Eight going postward, and he had to navigate through some traffic, but nothing like he'll encounter, obviously, with a 20-horse field. The first Saturday in May at Churchill. But this horse, I thought, was very professional. The final time certainly validated, a little under 148. That is definitely Trooper Crown material as far as final times go. I think the race validated early voting effort in the Withers, which we've talked about several times through the course of the spring here. His Withers victory over Ono, who we are well aware won the Rebel Stakes here. A couple of others out of the Withers ran very well. And for early voting, He dug in like a ground squirrel late. I mean, it took all Mo Donegal could give him to kick him down. And as I said, the final time is solid. And I think David may share my thoughts on this. I think finally, and I say finally, probably within the last 15 years, a New York race gets some relevance going forward into the Kentucky Derby.
And I'd have to agree with that. You know, it used to be there are only two paths to get to the Kentucky Derby, or actually three. You either had to go to California, New York, or Florida. Now, with obviously with Oakland being a major path, the New York path has kind of taken a back seat in recent years. But I really like, we're going to be talking more about how impressive that Wood race was in comparison to most previous years later bit in the show. But, yeah, I mean, I think Mo Donegal ran a heck of a race. And obviously the runner-up early voting ran a huge race as well. And I got to give a hand out to JT, Skippy Longstocking, run third. And I think that was his long shot pick in the race. So, you know, all those three could be a factor 3 weeks from now.
And, David, let's turn over to Keeneland now. Bluegrass Stakes, as they get their card underway for the spring, and Zandon came home first there and now second in the overall Kentucky Derby point standings with 114 behind only another horse we talked a lot about on the show this season, Epicenter. Smile Happy had to settle for second, and Emmanuel rounds out the top three.
And I'll be honest with you. Early in that race, I mean, I liked Zandon. We talked about him, and you know, I picked him on the show, and I liked him a lot and actually wagered on him. I was hoping to get a little bit bigger of a price than 2-1. But early in that race, I was, like, really worried about Flavian Pratt because he was way back early, 10th at the three-quarter pole. But, you know, the pace was relatively, you know, I wouldn't say slow, but it was a very evenly paced race. And for him to come from that far back and win that race, I think that's going to make things interesting as well. And obviously Flavian Pratt fits this horse very well. So Zandon, I think, ran a very good race. So Chad Brown runs second in the Wood, but wins the Bluegrass with Zandon.
JT?
Yeah, I thought the race, it was a little curious, 48 half mile, and I shared David's thoughts exactly. I said, what's Flavian doing so far back? He was 11th and last, I think, at that point. And they picked it up into the third quarter, a little under 13, and he was starting to get in ahead of steam. But he came home like a freight train, and again, having to deal with that traffic is going to be a critical aspect of the Kentucky Derby this year, but he took care of business, one going away, but the race didn't time out very well for me. I've made it kind of a rule of thumb in these last 9 furlong, mile and an eighth major preps. If they don't shave 150, I kind of give them a demerit or two, and this was a low 150, 150-35. It was the slowest run of the three last Saturday, and I know track variants and speed figures are supposed to take care of things like that, but just kind of an off-the-cuff look at this final time, I didn't find it very flattering, but, you know, take nothing away from the winner. He did what he needed to do. Smile Happy, I think his connection's a little disappointed that he didn't take a little bigger step forward off that first start of the year in the Louisiana Derby when he ran so good and finishing second, but nonetheless, we'll see these two back, obviously, at Churchill. And they're going to have to improve their game, I feel like. I will say this. I am extremely surprised that Jay Fridman and Marty McGee, who put together the DRF Derby Watch each week, each Wednesday afternoon it comes out, and they have Zandon as the early Derby favorite over Epicenter. And I just really can't see that. I mean, David, I know this race come up with a good number for you, but I just didn't see him overcoming Epicenter as far as the favoritism. Maybe it's what have you done for me recently, that the newness maybe of this Bluegrass race maybe impressed them more than it did me. But I'd kind of get your thoughts about this.
Well, I think the deciding factor in who the morning line favorite is going to be in the Kentucky Derby at this point, we can talk more about this later in the show, is who Joel Rosario gets aboard. He was on Epicenter. He's been on Epicenter in all of his races. He was on Mo Donegal, excuse me, in the Wood. So those are his top two choices. Look to see which way he goes, and I think that's where your morning line favorite is going to be. So, you know, he is not going to be riding Zandon. We know that. So I kind of agree with you. I don't think Zandon is going to be a morning line favorite come the first Saturday in May. Or it could be a morning line favorite, but it won't be the betting favorite. I'll put it that way.
Yeah. Let's touch on the Santa Anita Derby. And, David, we talked about this one last week, and it looked to be a two-horse race. And then you threw in Taba, which is a horse that was lightly raced, didn't have nearly the resume that Messier and a couple of the others in there did, and yet comes home first as predicted. So it does, in fact, pay occasionally to listen to this show. So I will tip my cap to you once again. Seems like that's been a regular occurrence this year on the show.
Well, thank you. And that's just kind of one of those races when there's a short field and two really, really heavy favorites. And JT talks about this all the time. Look for value. So in that case, there was really only one value horse in that race, and it was Taba. And he ran a great race. I mean, when you consider that he's gone from a 6-furlong maiden special weight race to winning a grade one mile and an eighth, that's just amazing. So, how he'll fare in Kentucky remains to be seen. Obviously, I'd like to, have a little better horse with a little bit more, back training in him. But how he fares there, we'll find out. But he certainly was and ran a heck of a race. I mean, speed figure-wise and everything else, ran a very, very good race in the Santa Anita Derby.
So the question becomes, JT, is this a horse that can wheel back around in a few weeks and do it again against stiff competition in a larger field?
Yeah, this was a big effort, obviously. I mean, it goes without saying, off a 6-furlong maiden win to win, like David said, a mile and an eighth grade one in just his second career out. He did have a good trip. I don't think anybody will dispute that. Laying off Messier and Forbidden Kingdom, the early pace setter, he could see them all the way around there. And six horses, again, is entirely different, light years different, than having to deal with traffic and 20 other horses or 19 other horses in the Kentucky Derby. But to take nothing away from this colt, Tim Lankeen, I thought, did a great job taking over for Baffert, obviously, to get him to this point. There's going to be a lot of attention thrown their way come Derby week for sure. But this is a race that timed out well. He got the triple figure fire number, a 101, I believe it was, and that obviously is going to put him in the chase if he can run it back. But Derby, after two starts, it's awful tough to do. And again, whether he gets the trip or not remains to be seen. But Mike Smith, yeah, I guess, is going to take the mount back. Obviously, there are worse riders to have on your back than him. So just another interesting storyline in a very intriguing Derby this year. One of the more interesting, I think, Derbies coast to coast as far as bringing all these ingredients together than we've seen in quite a few years.
We've only got about a minute and a half, couple minutes here, guys, so let's move along to the Lexington Stakes today. It's the final points race for the Kentucky Derby, but a much smaller level, 100 points to the winners from previous prep races here in this final stage, but yet 28-4-2, the breakdown of the top four finishers today. And, JT, this is a race that will not get you in on its own merit, but can certainly help push a couple of horses with points already over the hump. And some interesting, storylines in here. A horse that David brought up last week in Tawny Port, a horse that's had some good finishes, second in the Jeff Ruby Stakes back on April 2nd. You got Dash Attack, a horse that's well-known to Arkansas and Oaklawn fans, ran all three of the prep races at Oaklawn. And then Ethereal Road, to me, a really intriguing story. Ran in the Bluegrass last week and going to wheel back around this week. At least that's what I saw on paper this morning. So an interesting storyline there with Dwayne Lucas, who's done some unconventional things already this year. But that's a big ask, I would think, week to week. What are your thoughts on the field? And I think this is a little more intriguing than a normal 20-point race would be.
Indeed. And Wayne is having a 30-year flashback, I think, back to the 90s or even the 80s with some of these unconventional moves that he's made. The filly, of course, in with the boys in the Arkansas Derby at the Real Road, coming back in only a week's rest. But this coach better than he showed, I thought, last time out in the Bluegrass. We'll see what he can do. I'm intriguing horse in here. It's number 11, Call Me Midnight. Keith DeStormo elected to sit out both the Risen Star and the Louisiana Derby, and he's rolling the dice here that this colt is one of these borderline on the fence as far as points go. Call Me Midnight has the distinction of being the only horse to finish in front of Epicenter this year, and that's saying a whole lot. We know how we think about Epicenter. So very good plot lines up and down this Lexington field today. More relevant, again, than we've seen in a lot of years recently with this race.
And David, again, you talked about Tawny Port. I want to focus there for just a second. This is a horse that's currently sitting 20th in the point standings, but has the least of the graded stakes as far as money goes. So kind of at the very edge of things there. So I guess maybe taking the safer path and trying to add a few more to the total before we get to Kentucky Derby Saturday.
Well, we talked about him going into the Risen Star. I think he was my upset special going into the Risen Star off of his, what was a pretty fast 1 mile race on the artificial surface at Turfway. Didn't really fire that day. Ended up getting beat 8 lengths. Did have a little bit of an excuse. Got shuffled back about the quarter pole. Got shuffled back a little bit at the quarter pole. Entered him back in, back to the artificial surface in the Jim Beam. Ran second there to Tiz the Bomb, who I think could be an overlooked horse come the first Saturday in May. But obviously, Brad Cox, this is his last shot to possibly get in there. He's already got, obviously our horse, Cyberknife, going into the Derby, as well as Zozo, a horse he also ran here. So this could be his third Derby horse if he gets the points today.
Yeah, we will see how it shakes out. But, yeah, some intriguing storylines going in and $1 million to boot for a purse, so not too shabby there. All right, well, let's take a quick break. We'll come back and we will touch on the Kentucky Derby favorites, according to our experts on the show. At least they have been regarded as such. We'll see how their picks go today. But plenty to talk about at Oaklawn, obviously, with the $500,000 count fleet and a very good card all the way around. Plenty of picks coming up and a little analysis on the Derby after the break on Oaklawn Race Day. Stay with us.
Live racing at Oaklawn is back, and it's bigger than ever.
They're off.
With more race days and more ways to enjoy them, with a new luxury hotel, more dining options, and world-class thoroughbred racing, this season is like no other. Book your escape, buy your seats, and make your dining reservations at Oaklawn.com today. Oaklawn, Arkansas's only casino resort. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
Hogs Meat Market has been a North Little Rock staple since 1963, serving the best meat in Arkansas. Be sure to go to their website for weekly and monthly specials, as well as meat packages available. Hog is their family name, and they are so happy folks around Central Arkansas have come to associate it with high-quality products, fair prices, and terrific service. And for the hunters out there, Hogs is a great place to get that deer processed. Check them out online at hogsmeatmarket.com. That is Hogs with two G's.
David Lanzanotti, Jeff Money Taylor, Justin Anchor with you on Oaklawn Race Day on this Saturday. And we're going to delve into the Kentucky Derby and the contenders, according to the guys, who you should look for and who you maybe should avoid. But I did need to mention, JT, before we dive into that, this Oaks race, as you look at the field, the way it's coming together, is shaping up to be a dandy, I think. Kathleen O, 4-for-4 lifetime. Echo Zulu, horse we've talked about, over $1.5 million in earnings, 5-for-5 lifetime. Secret Oath, we talked about Dwayne Lucas. We've mentioned this horse a million times, third in the Arkansas Derby. The Honeybee, third-place finisher and fantasy winner, and Ugiri. And an interesting horse in the form of Nest that won the Ashland last week. Pretty darn good time there, Jeff. So we're going to focus on the Derby, but, man, the Oaks, what a field for next week, or actually a few weeks away here still.
Yeah, it is. It is just simply nothing short of fantastic. And, of course, Oaklawn sentiments are going to be, I think, in large part with the Secret Oath. I thought she was valiant in defeat against the boys in the Archie Derby. I feel like she is the one to beat, Justin. She's just so push-button. I think she can put herself in the race at any point in time. Luis Saez is going to take over the riding chores, obviously a high-profile job there that Wayne has enlisted the services of, and get a commitment from him as in demand as he is, I think speaks highly of her chances as well.
All right, JT, let's go to the Derby. And we've talked about a ton of horses. Obviously, there's all kinds of thoughts here, and that's going to be the case probably all the way up to race day. But give me your top pick or some of your top picks, I guess, going into the Kentucky Derby with the majority of the prep work done.
I think it all starts with Epicenter. I think the fact that he's rated so nicely in winning the Louisiana Derby was simply a game changer. He looked one-dimensional on tape, but the way he just sat off of him that day, Joel got him to relax quite nicely, and that's the kind of trip that usually wins the Kentucky Derby. I'll take speed over big closers any day of the week with this sure-to-be traffic jam shaping up, turning for home. I think Epicenter is a legitimate favorite. I'll be surprised if he does not go favorite. We've already talked about that. Mo Donegal, I'm still kicking myself for getting off of him. The way he finished it up in the Holy Bull earlier this spring made me want to pick this horse back in the wood. I ended up talking myself out of it from a silly jockey standpoint, and I hate to let riders or their agents dictate how I think, but I did that day. Irad Ortiz is going to be back on him in the Derby, I heard this week. He is obviously, I think, the most qualified of the closers. And David talked about my bomber horse in here. It is Tiz the Bomb. I know his two races of late came over synthetic, but Kenny McPeak is very crafty, and it seems like he upsets the apple cart in the trifecta every single year. And I think he's got a live one here at probably around 15 or 20 to 1 even. And legendary trainer Bob Holdus once told me, Justin, in these trifecta races, it's every bit as important as who runs second or third as sometimes who wins it.
There you go. All right. Well, David, we've had plenty to see, I guess, and analyze through the season. Give me your top three.
Well, yeah, unfortunately, JT and I are talking, you know, from the kind of preaching from the same pulpit here. His top two are my top two, except kind of flip-flopped. I think Mo Donegal got a lot out of that last race. And what I really love about him, he's kind of like a flashback to old school training techniques. I mean, he won a grade one race as a grade two race at a mile and eighth as a two-year-old. So my thought is, you know, I think you can forgive him as third in the Holy Bull. He came back and really had things going against him for the most part in the wood, and just barely got up to beat. I like the fact that I just heard from JT that Irad Ortiz is gonna ride him. So, you know, he right now, if I had to go a top pick in the Kentucky Derby, he'd get my top pick. Epicenter to say everything that JT said would be a very close second. And right now, I've got to lean a little bit towards Zandon. I just like the way the horses that have been come up from Louisiana have been running, and I think Zandon. Let's look at the bluegrass as a training methodology for him as well. Pratt takes him back, tries to get him behind horses. He does just that, closes strongly. So if you're going to go for a closer, I think Zandon will be it. And unfortunately, right now, my top three are sounding a little bit chalky. So at some point between now and then, I'm going to have to dig out a long shot pick.
You've been big on Messier all year. Second place last week. Thoughts on his chances maybe in a couple of weeks here?
He had everything his own way in the Santa Anita Derby. He was tracking a speed horse that went out and set very quick fractions in the horse's name I can't remember all of a sudden. And he had everything his own way and let a horse who had just run 1/6 furlong race in his life run pretty much right by him. So keep an eye on the work tab, see what he does. Now, there was some talk about the fact that his training was not up to par going into the Santa Anita Derby. So keep an eye on his training. If he starts to train like a world beater, then he might jump back up into my estimation. But right now, I could not see an excuse for him to lose to that horse last week.
All right, we've talked a lot about what's going to happen in a few weeks. Let's dive into what's going to happen today. Picks from the Count Fleet. Best bets, long shots, coming up as we continue on Oak Lawn Race Day. Stay with us.
$20 an hour. You heard that right. Lennox Industries state-of-the-art air-conditioned factory in Stuttgart, Arkansas is now offering $20 an hour starting pay in addition to no mandatory weekend work, making it a great place to start a new and exciting career. We invite you to become a member of the strongest commercial HVAC manufacturing facility in the world. If you have manufacturing experience, a strong work record with good attendance, and are looking for a place to establish a long-term career where you can grow, then Lennox Industries in Stuttgart wants you. Lennox offers the best combination of pay and overall benefits package in the industry and has been operating in Stuttgart since 1974. If you are ready to kickstart your career and join an industry-leading company in HVAC, then visit LennoxInternational.com/careers or text MyCoolJobs to 97211.
Welcome back to Oak Lawn Race Day on this Saturday. And JT, let's dive into the Count Fleet Handicap and a relatively small field with six and a pretty heavy favorite with Jackie's Warrior, the Asmussen trained horse. Give me kind of your overview here for this 6-furlong race. Should be a fun one and a couple of intriguing ones outside of the favorite here.
Yeah, I think it's a very interesting race. You've got a classic, I think we're going to be a lonesome speed horse in Jackie's Warrior. He is simply quicker than the rest of this group. I think there's going to be a couple of people in the second flight or horses in the second flight trying to keep up. Bob's Edge, there's no secret of what he's going to do. Louis will drop him back to last and make the kind of runs that he's done in his last two and winning the Whitmo and King Cotton in impressive fashion. I like to go with speed in these short fields and to say Jackie just has so much class. and so much speed. I'm going to kind of hedge a little bit and give an exact choice instead of maybe a top pick. I do like Jackie to do this on the front end, wire to wire. He's proven in the mud, and we're obviously going to have that kind of footing today. But I think he gets loose up front, and he's been training very well, I understand. Superb gate work a couple of weeks ago as he prepares for his defense of his championship sprint label that he got last year and winning the Eclipse. I like number three, Let's Get Lucky, to kick the exact. I think Bob's going to have a little bit too much to do from back there. This is kind of a stalking type. I love Martin Garcia up here on Let's Get Lucky. He is a very honest horse. He's never run worse than third in his life. I know he's not as seasoned in Stakes Company as some of these others in here, but he loves to run. He loves to compete. And while he's never been in the mud, he was bred to love it. He's my Munnings, and it doesn't come much better than that on the top side of the pedigree. So I'm going to go for the upset here. You're going to have to break up these two short-priced horses, and I think I'm going to go Jackie over Let's Get Lucky.
All right, David?
Well, I'm you know what? I'm probably a day late and a dollar short, but I'm jumping on the Bob's Edge bandwagon. Yes, Jackie's Warrior has tons of early speed. He has shown it in every race. I mean, you look down his – you know, that opening quarter in his PPs, you see 21-4, 21-4, 21-4, 21-2. But there's other horses in here. Now, it does not take a great horse to be able to go those 21 and change quarters. The question is what happens after they do that. I like Mojo Man as a possible upsetter in here. His last race just a couple of weeks ago here at Oaklawn was very, very strong. He also went out in 21-4. It looks to me like they have finally figured out with him that he likes to be on the lead. Now, can he beat Jackie's Warrior to the lead? No. But if that layoff starts running into Jackie's Warrior's head about the 3/8 pole, I think Mojo Man may be the one to be able to possibly outfinish him. And, you know, Bob's Edge, I love Bob's Edge. So that's my exacta. Bob's Edge over Mojo Man with Jackie's Warrior in the third spot.
Okay. So we got a 1-6 and a 5-3. I like it. All right, let's come back to you, JT, for your best bet today. JT there?
Yes, I'm sorry. Latest rain shower must have play havoc with my phone reception. Yes, I am there. So I guess we're going to move into a best bet at this stage.
Yes, sir. Let's do it.
Okay, I'm going to go to the second with number four, in the second race, Smoky Mountain Rain. This was a recent acquisition to the claim box by trainer Adian Green. I think she saw something in this five-year-old maiden that she liked, and obviously they produced a nice two- and three-quarter length maiden win last time out. This is a field without much speed in it. I think this horse is quick enough to make a pretty comfortable early lead in the second, and I know I don't like five-year-old non-winners at two very often, but I do like number four, Smoky Mountain Rain, in the second, my best bet.
Okay, David, we've got a Ronnie Millsap horse. What do you got for us? Did we lose David? I heard a glitch a little bit ago. I don't know if we lost him along the way there. Well, JT, let's move into your long shot pick for today. We'll see if we can get David back on. I don't know if he had a power outage down there or what happened.
We're in the middle of a cold string right now.
you're right there, buddy?
I'm good. I just had a bit of a power surge and knocked out the communication line, but we're good now.
Well, that happens. Okay, let's move into your best bet then, and we'll stay on task here. And JT, while you were gone there, gave us a Ronnie Millsap song as his best bet of the day. I don't know what you've got on tap, but if you can match that, that'd be good work, my friend.
A Ronnie Millsap song?
Smoky Mountain Rain. Okay, Smoky Mountain Rain. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to give you my best bet, my long shot in successive races. My best bet, go to race number 9, the 5-horse Super Constitution for Mac Robertson. Throw out his last race at a mile and a half. His last race at a mile would beat this bunch, I think. He's 8-1 in the morning line. And for my long shot, go to the very next race, Donny K. Von Hemel, Smoky Story, the 5, 15-1 in the morning line. He's stretching out, gets blinkers on. So I think Donnie saw something in him in his last race, which was way better than it looked on paper. So that's it for my long shot, race 10, horse 5.
All right, got a bunch of smoky working today. JT, real quick, in your long shot.
Long shot's in the 6, number 5, Full Authority. He is really at the top of his game right now. He's going to need it. This is a tough group. But number 5, Full Authority, my long shot play in today's 6.
All right, out of time. $2 million races on tap. Three great stakes races on the card. We'll be back next week to talk about it on Oaklawn Race Day. Good luck, everybody.
Racing in Hot Springs.
Venetian Harbor is back in front, half ahead. Swiss Skydiver going to make her work all the way to the wire.
When they can't make it to the track, Arkansas residents can watch and wager online with Oaklawn Anywhere. Get a $150 bonus when you sign up. Go to oaklawnanywhere.com or download the iPhone or iPad app from the Apple Store for details.
Swiss Skydiver, Venetian Harbor, and Swiss Skydiver is going to run away and win the fantasy.
Oaklawn, Arkansas's favorite place to play. The next time you're at Oaklawn, sign up for Oaklawn Rewards and play $100 on us.